All right, here we go. The Audible's on the air. Same cast of characters: John Kajemi, Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose. And, you know, every day we're getting closer to draft day, and rumors are swirling. All of a sudden, this guy's at the top of the list, and next day, there's going to be three or four quarterbacks, maybe down below the Dolphins that are available. I mean, it's all the misinformation that can be spread around.
We're all doing
draft
it.
Days, it's out there now,
well,
man.
I will tell you, I'm just looking ahead to a couple of weeks. I think this is one of the most anticipated first rounds we've ever had when you look at trying to figure out what's going to happen to this quarterback class and the fact that the Bills and the Patriots have so many high draft picks. I can't wait to see who's going to make the big move. I think it's going to be a wild first round.
I think that's the second part of it, Joe. Who's coming up to get one of these quarterbacks? Mm-hmm. Because there's so many teams in the NFL that are quarterback needy. And that doesn't mean a couple years down the road. That means picking one of these top four guys to play right away.
No doubt about it. And but, you know, I mean, we've seen these drafts before, and everyone throws their mock drafts out there they've got. And all it takes is for one guy that was picked to be maybe a second-round guy or a late first-round guy pop up in that top 10 for some reason because –
Somebody liked them.
Some team loves them, and all of a sudden, it's all up for grabs. Everything changes.
I get to feel like you're playing blackjack, and you're at a table with a guy that's been making the wrong moves two or three down from you, and you go, what are you doing? Yeah. Now I have to make another move that I didn't want to make. That's what this draft feels like. But let's see what happens. I think Buffalo, Denver, Arizona's back there. They need a quarterback.
They need a quarterback.
A lot of teams.
Everybody needs quarterbacks. And then how does everybody feel outside of those top four with Lamar Jackson and some of these other guys who, by the way, the Dolphins, like everybody else in
Mason
the league,
Rudolph,
bringing them in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you got to bring those guys in because you never know. And, look, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it's kind of clear the top four guys, and then it's a little murky after that. And I wouldn't be surprised to see one or two of those guys
go
maybe
a little
climb
higher than
up
usual,
to the top, because you're saying, these four are the first-round guys. These next four guys are second-, third-round guys. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of those second- or third-round people that are talking about.
Mike White.
Yeah, jump up
Luke
maybe
Falk,
a little bit.
You got all those names back there.
That Luke Falk out of Washington State.
That's right.
I think he was here in camp. He was here and had a big interview. So.
It's showtime. We'll see. It's showtime at the Apollo now. Everyone comes in. Everyone comes in for a visit to jump on stage and show what they can show. So anyway, we'll talk about the draft. You know what we're gonna do today? Because I was bad last week.
You were.
I didn't get to the questions. I feel
you pumped
bad.
It up, promoted it, and then you dumped them.
The people,
I promoted them and then just left them hanging there.
Get
Joe.
Back to the people.
And left them hanging there, like a lot of women have done to me over my life. You know
what I'm gonna say. That.
I get all dressed
that's
up.
That's another hour we could go.
Get all dressed up and ready to go, and then I'm sitting there waiting by the door, and no one shows up.
I can remember you sitting at bars by yourself. I go, Bo, what are you doing? You go, I'm waiting. And
I said, I'm waiting for my date.
Never
she was
show
supposed
up.
To, I, she's going to be here in a few minutes. She was supposed to be here 3 hours ago. I think she's going to be here any minute.
She's with Baumhauer and Betters.
Exactly. No doubt about it. Speaking of two guys that would steal from you like that. No doubt about that. Anyway, so we got a lot going on. We're going to talk to Daniel Kilgore, new center coming in for the Dolphins, and interesting guy. I like both the guys that Sitton and him came in. You know what I like? I can't tell you. I can sit there and tell you exactly what kind of players they are, but I like their attitude. Those guys are two classic offensive linemen grunts. Remember Joe back in the day when it was the Dolphins, when it was the '72 team, and they called the offensive line the Mushrooms,
right?
Because they store them in a dark area, no one ever talks to them, and they stink half the time.
Right.
I think that's how the thing went. These guys seem to be mushroom type guys,
They'll
just
be good.
Put me in a room with those guys. Let me fart all I want, and let me go out and chew
someone's
ankles.
Say whatever I want to say, whenever I want to say it. You're right. I'll take two helpings instead of three. I'll take four.
I think they'll be good chemistry guys and good for the locker room, and they know what their job's
like. So we'll hear from Daniel a little later on. By the way, if you're looking for this podcast, Apple Music, Dolphins.com, the Miami Dolphins.
Dropping everywhere, Joe. The app.
Miami
just
Dolphins.
Say app, Joe.
App.
There you go. Miami Dolphins mobile app, TuneIn Radio. Our episodes, I keep forgetting. When do those episodes drop, Joe?
Thursday
they drop. There we go.
Thursday,
and then maybe sometimes on Friday, Sometimes if you stay out now,
something fresh,
too many coronas,
right.
And you don't get in here on time,
right.
It may drop on
we
Friday.
We may do that, right.
Yeah, I thought that was today.
Well, a little bit of everything. Hey, and the other thing is I talked about the comments and questions from fans out there. You can send those in. We can get them on Facebook and Twitter every week. And judging by what we've gotten going here, pretty a pretty good amount of questions. So we'll get to those as we move on. But first of all, let's get to Daniel Kilgore a little bit. New offensive line coming in, looking for a whole new face of this offensive line. And a report coming out earlier this week was that there was a question about maybe trading Juwan James for C.J. Anderson, the running back, right? And the Dolphins evidently said, "Hey, no, you know, we're not going to go in that direction." So it shows there's some action out there. But I'm kind of gotten more intrigued too now with Juwan James and kind of being on that thin ice. It seems like all season long, if that kind of motivates him to pick up his play a little bit.
Yeah, is he a guy that needs that? Does he need the prodding, or is he the guy that needs the arm around him? I don't know. If you're on that team.
The message was certainly sent out to him during this offseason, hey, you're not sitting on that cushy sofa right now.
You're right, but if you're Juwan James, there's so many cushy sofas out in the National Football League looking for a right tackle that for his price, with a team that's not strapped to the cap, I think he was feeling pretty good. So that's why I think he, in his mind, he's 50-50. If I play well, I'm going to get a long-term contract. If I play marginally, if I play the way I have been playing, a little bit up, a little bit down, maybe banged up, maybe okay at times, I'm going to get another contract anyway.
Well, the weird one for me, watching this thing up close, is Juwan James didn't have a very consistent year at all. And yet he graded out high as one of the top tackles for free agency. How can that be? He's going to make a lot of money.
But graded out by who?
Well, by Pro Football
Focus.
But Pro Football Focus, I've seen it. You've seen it, before, where you if you sit down with a coach and you look at this giving this guy a negative on this play, but it wasn't his fault. There was the other guy that gave up, and he had to try to help on him, gets beat around the corner, and now they're blaming
him. The Dolphins didn't want to wait around to see what he was going to get on the open market.
No,
that's my point. That's my point. And to your point, Bo, you're right. I don't care what Pro Football Focus has to say. If my head coach or my offensive line coach grades me as a positive, I did a pretty good job on that play. I did what I was supposed to do and maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, those are the guys.
If I did something wrong, I stack those up.
What I understand about this Pro Football Focus, if you don't know what the play call is,
how do you know?
And you're not sure exactly what their assignments are, how the hell do you know? How the hell do you know if
Welcome
it's a guy
to today's Football Media Dictionary, Encyclopedia, man.
I tell you what, it's made every beat writer in the country an expert.
You lean on it because that's what the gospel said.
Yeah.
But the gospel doesn't know what the play call
was. Right, exactly. I'm with you on that. So anyway, Daniel Kilgore, new guy coming in.
Really seems like
a good guy. And I think that he's going to be one of those guys that really is going to help solidify this offensive line. And hopefully – In 2018, 2019, we hope we get into there a little bit. They become an offensive line that can protect your quarterback and get that running game going and be that solid offensive line that we've been looking for. So let's go ahead and hear from Daniel Kilgore. All right, we're here with one of the newest Dolphins. Daniel Kilgore comes to us from the San Francisco 49ers. He's going to step in and play that center spot. And, Daniel, thanks for joining us here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, first of all, take us through the kind of whirlwind that it's funny now with free agency and trades and the things that are going on, the volatility around the National Football League at this time of the year. It seems like you talk to everyone and just go, well, geez, I didn't expect that. And it's been a whirlwind. And, I'm one minute I'm here, the next minute I'm there. Give us your experience through this whole free agent period and what's gotten you to Miami.
I guess a month and a half ago. And in February, when I signed the extension, I had the vision of playing the rest of my career out west with the 49ers. And then a month after signing the extension, I get the news that I'm going to be traded. And so initially, you're frustrated, you're heartbroken. You just spent 7 years out there, and you're really basically just pissed off. But I believe Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch did what they thought was the best interest of me, and I really believe that as well of trading me and getting me in the spot to where I'm going to be most successful, and that was with the Dolphins. And it's been a whirlwind of emotions, but my wife and I were extremely happy and excited about this new chapter, and can't wait to get down to South Florida.
You get drafted to a team, you play there, and there's always going to be a loyalty. There's also always going to be a kinship with that team that that was your first team in the NFL. And sometimes it's tough moving, but you know, in the league these days, I guess there's very few guys that end up starting their career with one team and end their career with another team. So although those things come as a surprise, they're getting to be more the norm than the exception in this league.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and that was a goal of mine. It wasn't so much a money goal, but for me, it was about finishing the career where I started. And I think that was what the initial frustration and shock was all about. But at the same time, like you just said, in this new league, you're fortunate enough to spend 7 years in one place. And I've seen and done it all out west. Played in the Super Bowl, NFC Championships. I've gone 8-8. I've gone 2-14. So, you know, who's to say that change is not a bad thing or it's not a bad thing? But again, just excited about moving on, and we're over that frustration. We're over that heartbreak. We feel like we've got a new home, and just looking forward to meeting my new teammates and becoming brothers with them.
So what are we going to see out of Daniel Kilgore when he puts on the aqua and orange? Are we going to see a tough guy?
You know what? Yeah, you're going to see a tough guy. You're going to see a determined guy, a guy who is demanding and what his role is as a center and making sure everybody's on the same page. And somebody who sets the tone, somebody who is going to be around the ball, gets up to the ball and calls out his assignments or whatever and works hand in hand with the quarterback. And, you know, I'm not a guy that yells at or cusses at teammates or anything like that, but just real a leader, kind of like just how my daily approach is, you know, being to meetings on time, not having your cell phone, taking notes, being involved with the meetings, knowing what to do when you're called on. That's what you're going to get from Daniel Kilgore.
You know, I've had a chance to play on teams where the offensive line is the engine that drives an offense. You know, sometimes it's quiet guys there, and really as an offensive lineman, you don't have to be a vocal guy. You lead by example and do all those things. And I think that's kind of the goal of this team, to find those kind of guys, those guys that want to be we guys instead of me guys. And I know based on what I've read about you and talked to people out in the Bay Area about you, that's the kind of guy you are. You're a team builder. You're a guy that keeps teams going and just brings that energy. I think that this team certainly is looking forward to get to where they ultimately want to be.
Yeah, I think you just hit it right on the nail. When I talked to the coaching staff in Miami and Adam Gase, trying to envision the picture that they were wanting for a culture, I knew right away I was their guy. You know, coming from being drafted from a small school, I've always had a chip on my shoulder. I never was a guy that was high on anybody's boards. Never was a big-time money guy, salary guy, or nothing like that, but somebody who was reliable, came to work every day and gave it his all. And, you know, I think that's what they're looking for in these guys that they've brought in. And I think you look at the free agencies the guys that they have brought in, they have that tendency and they have those attributes about themselves. So we're, just keep it simple, but just come to work and do your job.
You've played with a number of quarterbacks. You know what going through quarterback changes between the center and the quarterback. And, you know, it's funny, the relationship between the center and the quarterback is a pretty unique one, not only in the NFL, but all of football. I mean, because you guys are both, you have a connection every single snap of the football game, one way or another. And you've been able to bridge those changes. Now you come over here with Ryan Tannehill, a guy that's been out for a while, looking to get his game back. He's a high-energy guy. He's a tough guy. Seems to fit the kind of person that you want to play with. How do you build that relationship with a new quarterback in Ryan Tannehill as you guys get started whenever OTAs and conditioning and all that starts here really right around the corner?
Yeah, it really starts day one. When I came down, I guess it was last Thursday, and I actually met Ryan on Friday morning there at the facility. He had just finished working out. And I think it just started there. Just kind of touch base and show face and, you know, kind of let him see who he's working with now. And we had a great conversation, and he was really helpful as far as the move and, you know, his wife getting in touch with my wife. And so I think it started then. But looking forward to working with him in the offseason and growing our relationship as a center and quarterback. And, you know, it's almost kind of like a clean slate for him as well. Coming back from injury, I've come back from injuries before, and you really don't know how your body's going to react until you're out on the field. And there may be a little hesitation at first, but I think he's going to – I believe he's doing all the right things right now to be on track for the season. And you know, I'm obviously going to be doing the same thing, but it just really starts when we get back April 16th and that day one and just growing together.
I'm sure you've had a chance to kind of look around, especially on that offensive line. Josh Sitton comes in from Chicago. You add yourself to the mix. Obviously there's a change there. Laramie Tunsil, Juwan James, looks like he's coming back, and then a little battle for that right guard position. But when you kind of look at the cast of characters that you're going to get involved in, I know you probably don't know these guys personally, but you know, you kind of get to know guys just by being in the league. Do you feel good about this group?
Yeah, you know, I look at the group and it is kind of, it is a young group. Honestly, you got a bunch of second year guys. I think I'm the third oldest probably in the room behind Ted Larson. And you know, Juwan James, he reached out just the other day. And I think just from what I've been told from previous staff and guys who have been around this group before, this is an exciting group. It's, again, a very talented group, a young group, and they're just needing that, I guess, that leadership of staying on task. And then I guess the younger guys can take off and be great. But you bring in guys like Sitton, all pro guys like he is. I mean, that's just the only people that's going to be stopping us is ourselves. And that's one thing we're not going to do. Once we start day one on April 16th, we're going to hit the ground running.
Hey, you'll see a familiar face when you come here. Frank Gore, the old running back for the 49ers, signs with the Dolphins. So there'll be somebody there that you know extremely well.
Yeah, I told Mike Tannenbaum yesterday, whenever he texted me, I said, Frank is the ultimate competitor and leader. I mean, that's what Frank is. He loves the sport. He loves that sense of brotherhood, and he loves Miami. Being from there, I couldn't see Frank going anywhere else and probably finishing out his career anywhere else. The 3 or 4 years I was with him out west, you know, were great learning experiences for me, just on how he approaches it each and every day. Coming into work every morning, getting on the treadmill, breaking a sweat, you know, just always doing something, staying active, getting in the sauna. And you know, then you just watch his game and how he fits in the tight spaces, and his pass protection is the best I've ever seen. So very excited to have Frank back as a teammate. I think the Dolphin fans will enjoy having him on the roster as well.
Well, certainly University of Miami guy, a guy that is hometown down here, everyone's looking forward to him. And I remember Frank when he was a freshman at the University of Miami. And, you know, I mean, it's remarkable with the two really devastating knee injuries he had in college. I've got some buddies back there, and they're 49er fans. I said, and they said, what about this guy Gore? I said, well, he's going to be good, but, man, you should have seen him before he had those knee injuries. And still he's turned himself into one of the great all-time great runners in the National Football League. And like you said, a leader, a tough guy, a guy that does whatever he needs to do to make a team better. And I think the two of you coming in really going to bring something special to this offense. We're really looking forward to it. While you're out in the Bay Area, let me ask you: you didn't buy a house in Milpitas, did you?
I did not. I did not. The cost of living in California is too high for my Tennessee blood. I can tell you that much.
Well, I grew up in Milpitas, which, as you know, is right down the street from the facility out there. I used to ride my bike and pick apricots and stuff right where the stadium is right now as a kid. So I know the area pretty well out there.
Yeah, we stayed in the Willow Glen area.
Okay, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were right there, right by downtown of Willow Glen, and again, it's a great area out there. We enjoyed the 7 years out there, but the cost of living is a little too high. I'm looking forward to that South Florida living.
You're not going to miss the state tax and stuff, are you? You want them to institute a special state tax here in Florida just for you, just so you can feel at home a little bit?
No, well, I'm originally from Tennessee, and we don't have a state income tax as well. So I'm coming home to Florida with that for that reason. But that is a huge play, especially in this league, for guys who are going to go to free agency or are on the trading block, I should say. You definitely want to make your money's worth, because this is a not for long league, and you got to get your money when you can.
Hey, South Florida, do you know anything about it? Have you been down here much? And if so, or if not, or are you and your family looking forward to getting down here and kind of exploring a little bit and getting the feel for what South Florida is all about?
Yeah, I mean, my wife and I, we've never really spent any time in South Florida, so we're definitely excited about coming down and seeing what it's like. Very excited about the food. Huge Mexican Cuban food lover.
There you go. Yeah, you're right. You're coming right to the right place then.
We're excited about everything. And being from Tennessee, there's not any large body of water, so we're looking forward to. It's funny. Everybody from Tennessee goes down there for vacation, and then all the Floridians come up to Tennessee and Western North Carolina for their vacation. So we're looking forward to spending each and every day that we can on the beach, and you know, just kind of getting into the culture and seeing what it's all about and experience as much as we can.
Hey, you mentioned earlier in the conversation, you've gone through a lot of things out in the Bay Area with the 49ers, and one of the things you got to experience was a Super Bowl, which is always great to have in your back pocket and something that you can talk to people here about that want to get to a game like that. But your Super Bowl was pretty unique. You lost the lights there for a while. That had to be one of the things you'll talk about and tell the grandkids about somewhere down the road, huh?
I tell you, that was, you know, it's the largest event in our profession and probably in all of professional sports. And for something like that to happen, I was really nervous, to be honest with you.
I could imagine, you know, with our climate today and these days, you know, you would think.
Oh, man.
So what was going through your mind when all of a sudden the lights went out?
Well, first it was, where's my family? Yeah. I had, about 8 family members at the game, and just making sure that they're safe and they're okay. That was my first instinct. And then, secondly, I forget how long the lights were. It felt like for years, but, you know, trying to stay loose, because we had a whole nother half of football to play. And at that time, we were getting our tails whooped pretty bad by Baltimore. And I don't know what it was, but after the lights came back on, we made it a ball game. And we should have won the game. But, yeah, it's definitely it was an experience that I wish we hadn't gone through, because you do worry about the safety of your family and your fans and everybody that's there. And in New Orleans, New Orleans is a tight quarter place already, so it's kind of nerve-wracking. But for some reason, after the lights came back on, we turned things around, so it was kind of a blessing in disguise.
So, Dan, you have kids?
Do not yet.
Oh, so you guys you're gonna be a husband and wife out. So you'll be free to roam and do whatever you want to do, right?
Well, I tell you what, we've got a French bulldog.
So you have a kid then, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's 3 years old, and he's worse than a kid, honestly. You can't take him everywhere.
All right. Well, hey, look, appreciate you taking some time out to join us. Really looking forward to seeing you when you get here in town, and really looking forward to this season and hoping that you guys can really, you know, put that offensive line together and be the type of offensive line that you guys want to be and certainly this team wants to be, and looking for a lot of good things out of the Miami Dolphins this year. And you got a lot of nice guys coming in, Danny Amendola, Albert Wilson, Robert Quinn, you know those guys from the Rams and what they're all about, sitting yourself. And so I think everyone down here is excited, and we hope you're excited about coming down and being part of an organization that, much like the one you're leaving, has a pretty good legacy and a history of success down here. And we hope you can add to that for us.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me, Kim, and looking forward to spending time and getting down there and getting to work.
Right, speaking of Daniel Kilgore, we got a Twitter question in from, really not a question, from Celtic Fury. 49er fan here. You guys are getting a great player, an outstanding person in Daniel Kilgore. He and his family will make Miami proud. I think even when you listen to him, you kind of get a feel for what kind of guy. He's a family guy. He's a guy that's all about business. And look, quite frankly, I think that's what this team, what this offensive line in particular needs, a guy like that.
He was disappointed for a couple days, of course, with the San Francisco.
Well, he signed a deal with
just
him.
Just got a new deal. Yeah. He and Garoppolo were close. But guys like, hey, this is a great opportunity to go to the Dolphins. So, yeah, he's pumped up about being here and getting this offensive line going.
Yeah, here's another one from Danny McClain. Miami's trying to build a good locker room. Guys with upbeat, good, positive attitudes. They're getting rid of all the distractions, no matter their talent. And I know you guys have run across guys all the time where you talk to them, they're asking, hey, what's going on? And you know, I hope that's the situation that, you know, do you guys buying into the fact that what's going on here with some of the player movement is more about the culture in the locker room and guys that want to be positive and guys that are more concerned with us rather than me, that change occurring right now?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm not big on when guys leave, we badmouth
them.
I'm not. There's too much shit that's been out there. Yeah. I'm not big on it. These guys do a lot of work. When they make plays, we love them. Then all of a sudden we lose games. The locker room's important. I get it. The chemistry, the culture's important. But making plays on Sunday and guys that show up know how to do that, that's important too, because that's all people are going to talk about. And, you know, we want dogs on the team. We don't want dogs. I want dogs. I want some guys who got a little dog in them.
I think you create your own tempo and your own pace, no matter if it's on the field or in the locker room, because everybody knows it's been in there. There's only a couple guys in there that's going to affect it one way or another. Yeah. You know, you kind of create your own atmosphere, and you're doing your own job. And if it's positive and you're winning, it kind of rubs off in that direction. If it doesn't, that's when you have to have that leadership or that voice in the locker room or that voice in a meeting room, if you're a linebacker, an offensive lineman, a quarterback, whatever room you're in.
So I think you guys are a part of line with me, because when people have asked me, I usually say one thing. I said, look, I'm not a guy that wants to give up talented players. If they're not working out, find a way to manage good players and keep them on your team.
We had guys that were not
that kind of stuff.
We had guys weren't great team guys.
They were off the reservation.
Guys like Duriel Harris and some other guys were.
You've got individuals.
About their stats and stuff, but they're damn good players.
Yeah, right, and nobody said anything because they were producing. But when it,
well, we
when
said
it,
stuff.
Well,
to
I know I, players do.
Well, we got to wait. Hold on. Kiko Alonso showing up.
Wait, hey, Kiko, this guy we don't say anything about, right?
Guys over there working around. Kiko, you got time to come over here? You don't work on kind of spend some time with us here?
Yeah, man.
You're not getting enough publicity around here?
He's like, what did I just walk into?
He's here and somebody was bad mouthing somebody. He said, I'm going to put a stop to
this.
Hey,
they said, why don't you go over and talk to those guys? And you walk in and you get trashed as soon as you walk in. That's what you expect here.
Yeah. Hey. Culture. Chemistry, business. You hear about it all the time. I guess the one question that coaches do go to and you hear is when things aren't going well and you lose three or four games in a row, which happens to everybody in every sport, you do learn a little bit about certain people on a team. Would you agree with that sometimes when things aren't going well, guys aren't digging to get out of it a little bit, maybe more than you want, or you hear them blaming other people? Do you see that at all?
Well, yeah, you definitely obviously don't want that. You know, when things are going bad, you got to keep grinding.
Right.
And same with if you're winning, you know, you can't get too high, can't get too low.
Kiko, you've been in this league under this environment, and it seems to change every year. You know, for us, you know, football back in the day was, you know, you got on a team and you stayed on that team. You know, there was no free agency. Very few trades even at that point. Now it's become very volatile. Guys coming and going, and so every year, you as a player, whether you're the guy that's moving or the guy that's staying and watching other guys come and go, you kind of look at your roster in flux until you get together. How does that? Do you keep an eye on that? Do you pay attention to it, or do you just say, hey, you know what? When OTAs start, I'm going to line up and do what I need to do. And when training gets here, I'm going to line up what I do. And the guys are around me, those are the guys I'm going to play with.
Yeah, we know when the season ends that we're not going to, you know, the locker room's not going to be the same this next year. And, you know, it's got to the point where, you know, you're used to it. And, you know, at the end of the day, you got a job to do. And when OTAs and the season comes around, you know, it's just all about football.
Yeah, it's certainly not like this is the only team. I mean, every team in the league is going through dramatic changes with trying to tweak their roster. You know, even the New England Patriots tweaking their roster. Everyone's tweaking their roster. So it's not solely the Miami Dolphin football team to do it. It's becoming like baseball every year. Okay, here's the season. Let me get the rosters and see who's on whose team and where they're going.
Everybody's trying to always get that edge.
Yeah.
And for you, Kiko, what is it in the offseason? How do you get your edge that carries over into OTAs, into training camp, and in the regular season? What gets you to your peak performance?
Just training, a lot of training. I try and cross train a lot, like learn new things. But you know, I think the most important thing is just training really hard. I think those months in January, February, March, and April of training really impacts how you are in the season.
What's the player's viewpoint of OTAs? Because as a layman, as a guy watching it, I'm almost like, hey, let's skip OTAs. Let's just get to training camp, have some meetings. What do you guys get out of OTAs? Is it more about the classroom? Is it more about learning a new system on defense or a new scheme on defense? What does the player get out of it?
Everything. Well, the way it's built is, you kind of like ease your way into it. You start with workouts and some meetings, then you throw in a little on the field work, then you start to practice, then you do mini camp. So it's just like
a build up, constant build up.
Exactly. And I like it because, taking, three months away from the game, it's nice to, ease back into it. But then you get to a point where, you're in, maybe OTA 8 or so, or you're in training camp, like, man, I want to start,
going,
playing and
for
hit.
Real.
Yeah, exactly.
I think like everyone else, the closer the season gets, the more like, hey, let's get to the real business of the season and start playing here. But the other thing I think, Kiko, is during these OTAs, because on April 16th you start with the off-season program, but that's conditioning, running, lifting, all those types of things. Then you get in the OTAs. And I would think the OTAs are a good opportunity for every team to reconnect with the new guy. Let me get used to it. Who I'm lining up against, how he likes to do things, how I like to do things, so we can try to get that continuity there, so that when you walk into training camp, you know each other, you know their style. Now, you haven't seen them play at a full speed at that type of pace, but you certainly know a lot more about them than you did when it was January 1st and you weren't sure what the roster was going to look like.
Yeah, that's a great point. Obviously, with the team changing a lot, it's good to have that time with your new teammates. And, it'd definitely be weird to just go straight into the training camp with a completely new team.
Kiko, you did something that's pretty difficult to do. It's not easy. I think people just look and go, well, linebacker position's a linebacker position. You played middle linebacker and had a really good year. And you had such a good year, they moved you to outside and brought some more guys in. What was that adjustment like last year overall?
It was a little different, but, at the end of the day, I truly believe linebacker, especially now, you got to do a lot of different things. And, at the end of the day, it's running, hitting people, covering, and, being all over the field and making plays. That's what you got to do at the linebacker position.
So, Kiko, you've been traveling a little bit, right? You're out in the Bay Area for a little while. You're a Bay Area guy.
Yeah.
Family's all out here now. They were out there. Now you get a chance to go out, and I know your girlfriend's still out there. How long did you spend out in the Bay Area?
I was there. So I went to Puerto Rico right after the season ended, did some stuff over there, and then I went, and I've been there about 3 months. And it's a little cold coming from here, especially in San Francisco. So I was definitely, when I got off that plane, even though Monday was pretty, it was pretty humid Monday. It felt like August.
Down
but
here.
But it definitely felt good. Put the tank top back on and take off the jacket.
Kiko, I got to tell you, man, you've made it really hard on us. I try to explain to people, and they're going, oh, Kiko Alonso, Colombian and Cuban and Puerto Rican ties. And I go, yeah, from Los Gatos, California. And they're like, what Los Gatos? And I go, oh, man, it's a long story. I don't even want to get into it. It's crazy, the whole thing. You get that too?
Yeah, it is crazy. I've been all over, man. Obviously my parents come from where they come from. Born in Boston, live in Texas, California, now in Miami. It's
yeah. This is home though.
Yeah.
I can tell by even talking to Bo, and I've had a chance to spend time with your dad before the games and the family.
Well, my man likes to get a suntan. My man likes to get a suntan. They're no better place for that. Where else are you going to go to get a suntan?
Right by the beach, man. I'm going to the beach right after this.
Hey, one of the things you talked about traveling, you had traveled to Puerto Rico on the 28th. You're going back to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And you're going back there to help with Hurricane Maria relief efforts. And it's really a shame what our country has done with Puerto Rico, not doing more for them, not giving. Because I think I mean, you know better than I do. There's a good portion of that island that still doesn't have power. They're still looking for food and everything. So you're making your second trip out there. Your father was born in Cuba, raised in Puerto Rico. So you're going out there to help and do what you can. You've been there before. What have you been able to do when you've gone to Puerto Rico to help out? And what's the experience been like? And what will you do when you go back on the 28th?
So it's pretty similar. When we went right after the season, we delivered basically water, food, and I thought most importantly, light, solar-powered light, because, you know, there's still, I just talked to my cousin the other day, there's still like over 200,000 people or so without light. And that's since September.
Yeah.
And without water, light. And I think this time we're taking more like these things that dig wells for the people and more light. And I think we're bringing more like stuff like that. Like,
so they can produce their own water.
Yeah, exactly.
Them, like, be able to have a more of rather than have to wait for someone to bring bottles of water.
Because, I mean, we were bringing cases of water, but, you know, a case of water lasts, what, like a week or so. And, you know, it's pretty eye-opening because, like, man, it's like just to see that people are living like that right now, it's pretty sad to see.
So it's purification systems that clear the water so they're safe to drink. People don't get sick. Yeah. And look, that all that stuff, it doesn't come free. You started a GoFundMe page. There's really nearly $200,000 in there. So how, if somebody wants to get on board and help out, how do they get to your GoFundMe page? I don't know GoFundMe. I give somebody $100 and say, here, go do what you need to do. And
it's a You Caring site.
I'm not gonna give you $100, but I'll go fund it.
I don't know the exact. Yeah, you don't need to get to me. Just it's a You Caring site. I don't know the exact link, but it's on my social media. It's on my Instagram handle.
Okay.
And also, we're doing a thing on this Saturday. Just a little like event in South Beach. It's a meet and greet. You can buy tickets for that, and all proceeds go to the Puerto Rico.
And that'll be this weekend?
This Saturday.
Good, good.
That's awesome, Kiko. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that people are just looking for any way to improve what has happened with the devastation over the months. And a guy like you, you know, with your family ties and trying to bring people together and trying to get them some semblance of a normal daily life. I mean, that's awesome.
Well, you know, you think about it, that's the same time we went through the hurricane here, right? Where we had to go out to LA and get out here.
That's right.
And you look at our country and everything's, it's almost back to normal for the most part. And you're thinking about Puerto Rico, who it was the same time of the year went through it. And it's still bad. Yeah. I mean, what's the worst things that you experienced when you were there?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's a lot of poverty on that island, so it's not like they were great off before the hurricane. Yeah. So the hurricane was really just, you know, a devastating blow. And also, you know, it's just a thing that it's not going to be solved in a matter of days, weeks, months. It's going to take probably years. But, you know, it was people just like in rural areas in the mountains that literally they're like, you go through at night and it's pitch black. Yeah. You can't see anything.
Yeah.
And so people are like in their houses, pitch black. Some people are all by themselves, like an old man is by himself in the dark, like his house is just wrecked.
Yeah, and they like us are coming into the rainy season there too, so they're going to face all that with all the all you know everything that they've had.
Yeah,
so
that cycle.
Yeah, tough situation there for those guys. Hey, Kiko, let's get back to football a little bit. Looking forward to this year. You know, this is a time of year where you want to kind of heal up a little bit. You want to get a little relaxation. You want to travel a little bit. But when does your mind really start saying, hey, let me get back into football mode?
I think it already is, man. I think, you know, I think everybody has a bad taste in their mouth after this past year. But, you know, the great thing about football is you always have a chance to, you know, change what happened. And you always, you could have a bad season, come back next season, and have a great season, and everyone's praising you.
You're sitting there. You're kind of the lone linebacker right there now. You're waiting. Raekwon McMillan's obviously coming back from the injury. We didn't get to see much of him. You saw some of him. And then, you know, there's a lot of talk when the draft rolls around looking for that other linebacker, maybe some guys there, whether it's at the 11th pick or whether it's later in the draft. So it certainly is a priority, it looks like, going into the draft. You kind of just sit there and wait and say, hey, who am I going to be lining up against here this year or with?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, as we already said, you know, every other team's different, but, you know, at the end of the day, football is football. And
have you, you follow the draft? What's out there? You keep an eye on
enjoy it? Yeah, I like to watch. You know, I like to watch tape. I watch the, you know, linebackers, you know, just tape on, you know, bunch of guys.
Did you watch the combine?
No, yeah. I can't remember. I think I was must have been out of the country when the combo was going on.
If you were here with you, I'm me and John. I can sit there and watch it for hours on end.
I'm into that 40-yard dash. It's the weirdest damn thing.
I like watching the drills better.
Well, you know, so do I. Yeah, I'm 63 years old, and I'm watching that. And I go, I could have done better than that guy.
Hey, I believe it.
I can't believe how fast everybody is at the size of all these guys. Yeah.
Man, there's a couple of linebackers that are more like you, big.
And crazy times and stuff. Yeah, yeah. So how important is that combine, by the way? You've been through the whole process.
You know,
how much you read into it now that it's
– I truly believe that the most important thing is what you put on tape.
Yeah.
Because, man, football is not about testing. I mean, that stuff's pretty and all, but at the end of the day, it's – who's a great football player and who's got that killer mentality, you know?
How'd you play when you played against big games, when you played against SCs and UCLAs and those guys?
That too, exactly.
Yeah, because that's where you – I mean, those are the schools that are putting the guys in the pros.
That's right.
And so you match.
You either be with or against.
So that's that, you know, all these guys – and look, I was kind of one of those situations. All these guys that are coming into the draft, Josh Allen, all these guys that played in smaller schools. Hey, guy looks great on tape. But you got to look at the play guys he's playing against too, the level of kind. So that comes in with those guys, and you come through from a smaller school, and the competition you're playing, that's a tough transition to evaluate, you know.
But I guess Carson Wentz is just an anomaly.
Yeah, man. Well, no,
that's right. There's a couple guys.
That, look at Phil Sims. He came out of
Morehead State,
and then came right. There's been a lot of guys that have done it, but it's just a different way to go. You excited about let me ask you this. Some of your guys have gone. You know, Lawrence Timmons gone, Ndamukong Suh gone. Kind of a little surprise to some people there. Some of the guys that left on the defensive side. Do you kind of feel bad about that, or do you kind of because you got relationships with all these guys? I don't care if they're a defensive back or a nose tackle or a defensive end. Over the years you build relationships with these guys.
Yeah.
It's tough to see him go sometimes.
Yeah, but you know, stuff's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But you know, it is sad to see some, like, because you know they're friends of ours. But you know, we love them. We're gonna miss them. But you know, we've got to move on.
I do want to ask you, when you came up, we were talking about culture and all. How important is that, the locker room and chemistry and culture and all that stuff that seems like we've been talking about for months now. How important is that stuff?
It is really important. You know, you want a locker room full of guys that are, you know, very competitive, want to win, and, you know, care about each other, trust in each other, and, you know, it's extremely important.
You know, to me, the locker room also is about policing yourselves in there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the guys that have been around, the veterans, the guys that are out there busting their ass, and you got some guys not pulling his weight. I kind of think it's imperative for those guys in the locker room, more so than the coaching staff, to kind of pull a guy aside and say, hey, is there a problem or something? Because you need to get your ass in gear, bro. We're trying to win some games, and you can't be – I mean, that's got to take place, to me, in order for a locker room really to be a good locker room. You know, coaches are in there. They're not in that locker room very often. That's a whole different scene. There's a guy can be sit there and be as attentive as he wants in a meeting, and then comes over and is a bullshitter in the locker room that doesn't want to do anything. You guys know it. The coaches may know it, and it seems to be up to the veterans and the leaders in the football team to kind of say, "Hey, we got to clean this up a little bit."
Yeah, man. The most important thing is got to be winning, and football is the most important thing. And, you know, it sounds simple, but you know, that's what it is.
So you've been down here in South Florida for a couple of years now. Better than Buffalo? Worse than Buffalo?
What do you mean?
Living.
No, living. I mean, come on. That can't be it.
But a lot of guys up there that still live up in Buffalo. Guys that played
not
up
that
there.
Not that many.
That's
no,
true.
There are Gaskers up there. Thurman Thomas is up there.
Guys all working.
Kelly's up there. All those guys up there.
Thurman, I don't know why he's up there. I'm not sure. Some of those guys got jobs up
you
there.
You know, man, like, in their defense, Buffalo is a great fan base.
Yeah.
Like, you can't take that away.
No question about that.
There's not many fans that are jumping through fiery tables and no lighting themselves on fire.
No, it's true.
No, I've told the story a lot of times about a guy got, I'll keep it short, guy was in the end zone. Big corner, big fight in that far corner where you come out of the tunnel, that far corner over there. And the police threw him down on the ground, arrested him, had him handcuffed, had his shoes down his pants, faces all bloody. And, you know, you see they're dragging him behind our bench, and we turn around and look at him, and he goes, F the Dolphins. This guy was going to jail, bloodied and battered.
He still wanted to tell you,
still,
screw
he
you.
He still said, you know, screw the Dolphins, man. Yeah. I'm a Buffalo guy. So I kind of admired the guy for that, even though he was going to jail, you know.
It's passion, not a passion. Yeah.
Did you bowl a lot when you were there? Did you get into bowling stuff, bowling?
Nah.
None of that stuff?
I'm not very good. I go with the like,
the meat, rails?
The meathead thing where you throw it as hard as you can.
Spin it as hard as you can.
Oh, yeah, right. don't spin. Just straight shot.
And, I got you.
No, you throw a couple gutter balls and like, all right, screw this.
All right, Kiko, we appreciate you stopping by, man. We've taken up enough of your time. But, hey, good job on the Puerto Rico trip. You're going out there.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
On the 28th. And, again, go on his social media. Go to his GoFundMe page. You know, just you know what? Just Google Kiko Alonso, Puerto Rico. I'm sure you'll be able to find a number of ways that you can help. But I think it'd be good for everyone to kind of step up and help out a little
good
bit.
Good stuff.
Really
Kiko.
Good cause. Those people have been forgotten there, which is a travesty in this day and age and in our country. And so I applaud you for what you're doing there.
Thanks.
Kiko, thanks for coming in with us, spending some time, man. It's been a while. We miss those bus rides and a little bit before the games in the hotel and all that stuff. So it's good. Good stuff.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Good, man. Great
annoying,
to be back.
Annoying everyone when you start playing the Spanish music on there.
Hey, I'm gonna get everyone turned to it.
There you go. All right, Kiko. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Kiko.
All right. Good luck the rest of the offseason. And looking forward to
he's still got some Bay Area in him, man. He ain't leaving us both. Don't you worry. He got a little Bay Area.
You think so?
I think he went
Los Gatos?
I've never been there. Hey, you guys got to tell me about it.
You think he went to Skomas when he was in
I don't know if he's a Skomas guy.
You go to Skomas when you're in San Francisco?
Skomas.
No, see, that's it right there. He didn't go to Skomas on the water down by the wharf.
Hey, not for nothing.
Nah, I was in Knob Hill area, right in the middle.
Yeah. Well, he's up in the high class.
He's not going to slum like you guys.
Look, guy from Los Gatos doesn't go down.
Yeah, I was going to say. You know, I start thinking Saratoga, Los Gatos. Yeah, he got nothing in common with us.
I was trying to tell you guys. My man's not going. He's high class.
I get a good hotel in the Tenderloin district. You know, he's up in Knob Hill and stuff, you know. All right, so Kiko, nice having him show up, huh? You never know. That's a good thing about being down here at training camp. You never know who's going to pop in.
Well, he's got such a great attitude. Yeah. He really does. Look, a lot of guys, after they had a good season, a middle linebacker, would have been a little salty moving outside.
Yeah. My comfort zone. I got it down pretty good,
Gary. A little different deal moving to the outside.
Yeah.
So.
But, look, I like the guy. I think he's a positive factor in this football team. And look, you get a couple linebackers around him that play pretty good, and I think it's going to be a good situation. Anyway, let's get back to some of these questions. I've been teasing them here for the last 45 minutes or whatever.
last week,
Matthew Harrell from Facebook: Dolphins are going small speedball. Grant, Stills, Wilson, Amendola is there to take plays from the Patriots system. Parker needs to step up and be more like the AJ Green type. We thought he'd be, and Lord, please help us find a tight end. Well, I agree with that one. Lord, please help us find a tight end. And kind of right on the money there with Devontae Parker, right? I think we've been saying it all along. You know, he's teased us, and we've really seen some good stuff out of him. It's just got to be a more consistent base.
Got to see more. He's going to get more targets. He's going to get some of Landry's targets.
Yep.
I totally agree, though. That's really good. Both points. You got one big target. Let's get him more involved on the outside. And we got to find a tight end.
No matter what you're hearing out there,
we can't go with the guys we have right now. No. That's got to be upgraded.
And Joe, you were a tight end in the league. John, you played quarterback. And the thoughts coming from Adam Gase that you're hearing now is, look, we want to spread this around. I don't want a guy with 110 catches and other guys with 30. You know, you're looking for that, spread it around, share the wealth. You guys like that philosophy?
I like it from a standpoint because I've seen guys, I've been like that a little bit myself when you don't get a ball thrown in 25 or 30
it's
snaps.
It's human nature not to be running it but your route as hard as you.
I've seen it with other guys who are really good that played every down, and I've seen salty guys even when you win. I think it's bad when your quarterback starts throwing to one guy 10 or 12 times and the other guys twice, and yet you're doing just as much running as those other guys. So from a morale point, I think there's going to be different matchups. Different guys can have big games, and there's no reason everybody can't get involved. And I know Adam Gase mentioned it to me yesterday again. It's going to be one of the game goals and game plans.
You talk about it from a morale standpoint, but, John, you see it from a quarterback's eyes, and the thought of spreading it around, kind of keeping everybody on their P's and Q's defensively, because look, I know 90% of the time they're going to go to this guy on third down, so we're going to take care of that. When you start spreading it around, all of a sudden now everybody's got to be on their toes.
Well, it makes it a lot easier, too, to disperse the football when everybody's involved. But I think at the end of the day, the pass catchers, whether you're playing tight end, running back, X, Z, whatever receiver spot you're in the slot, you have to be accountable. And I think that's the one thing the Dolphins have missed. You know, when you're running a route, it has to be at a certain yardage. Yeah. It has to – you have to be coming out of that route consistently like you do on a Wednesday or
trust,
a Thursday.
Right?
Yeah, you have to do that. And as a quarterback, you never think about that during the heat of the moment. You're just reacting to coverage. You're reacting to what you see. Maybe if you see a one-on-one, you take advantage of that. If you've got Devontae outside on a guy that's 5'9", forget the play. I'm going to go to my matchup out here. But he also has to be accountable. You know, he has to be able to get open in those situations. And those green light specials, that's what I call it as a quarterback, when you know you've got a mismatch, those guys have to realize it too, that ball, there's a pretty high percentage, there's 80% chance or higher, that ball's coming to me on this play. That's why Adam Gase called it, to get that coverage, to get me in this position. So there's a lot of things that happen why ball disbursement, why the ball was a magnet to Jarvis Landry on certain situations. Now, I agree with Joe. There can be times where you get a guy that gets disenfranchised with running routes. Yeah. I'm not getting you. I'm open.
Yeah.
You know, you're always open on Sunday, and then Monday you look and maybe you weren't so open.
Well, there's the other side of it as a quarterback where you got that guy that's telling you that all the time, and you're looking over and go, bro, you tell me you're open. I'm looking over there, and the guy's all over you. So leave me alone.
Now, I just think that when you don't think about it, I think that's when the best offense comes to fruition.
Yeah.
When you're not even worried about ball targets.
Right.
You're reacting.
Yeah.
And as a quarterback, that's the best way to do it. You see coverage, you know where you want to go with the football. If that happens once you get the ball, whether it's in shotgun or pre-snap, and all of a sudden you're back in the pocket.
That's all well and good until the play's over and those guys are all coming back chattering in your
ear.
That's where
you have to tell them, hey, you know what? Tough shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to get the ball when you're open.
Yeah, I'll tell you when you're going to get the ball.
I thought the last 2 years, though, I thought some of it became habit for quarterbacks. Yeah. It was just like, okay.
Safety net.
All right, where's Jarvis? Yeah. And went to him. And I understand why. He's really good, but boy, left a lot of guys out.
You know what I think too, Joe? The offenses in 2016, 17, and what it's going to be in 2018, the ball gets out so quickly that it's almost predetermined on those little screens, or you see the picks across the middle where three guys are actually running routes, but they're really blocking for the one guy
that's
trailing.
True.
There was a lot of schemes that are built for one guy getting the ball on this particular play, or else it's kind of, you know, it's a mash unit.
But I agree with that. But the other side of that is they're scouting that. And that's why I don't think we had as much success. And Jarvis Landry went down to 8 yards per catch.
Right.
Because everybody was on to, well, Jarvis, key on Jarvis.
Let's double
key on Jarvis.
Yeah. Make somebody else win.
Well, the thing to me, if I was playing a defensive coordinator playing as Jarvis, I said, you know what? Just let him catch the ball. Just tackle him. Because he makes most of his damage comes after he catches a football. If you could just, catch him, hit him, then okay, fine. You picked up 7 yards. All right, we can still. You know, it's him shaking loose of a guy and going another 20 yards.
That's right.
That's what made him so dangerous. Because if you got a guy that's always catching the ball 7 yards, 7 yards every time, and not doing any other stuff, you can manage that guy. Yep. But with him, he's always looking to take it to the house and always dangerous whenever he had the football.
This all goes back. I know we got to get it, but our third downs.
Yeah.
Jarvis, our third down percentage the last 2 years has been some of the worst in football.
On both sides of the football, by the way.
Well, defense too, but really, Bo, we were dead last again last year in third down.
It's
got to get better on offense.
I understand. Facebook, Derek Frederick was saying Grant was next before we even got rid of Landry. Yet you all still went and got Wilson and Amendola before ever giving Grant, Morgan, and Isaiah Ford a decent shot. Well, I think Jakeem Grant got his opportunity last year and really has put himself in a position where he's not just another guy in that wide receiver room now. I think he's a vital guy in that room. Shows you can play outside, shows you can make big plays for you and be an explosive guy. He's certainly got a place as far as Morgan and Isaiah Ford. look, those guys have been running around there on the practice field. They've been on the practice squad. They've been out there working. And if the team is going out and getting Wilson and Amendola, it's because right now they're not banking on Morgan as Isaiah Ford as the guy. I'm a guy that I never second guess coaches on who plays or who makes a squad, because I don't watch practice. I don't watch every single step of every single play that they go through during offseason, conditioning, OTAs, training camp. You know, I don't care what Derek Frederick or anybody else or anybody that calls into radio shows says. They're not equipped to say who should play and who shouldn't play unless you're sitting in those meeting rooms watching everything that goes on.
I would like to think on the first name, though, Jakeem Grant played a lot better at receiver than I thought. We found out he's not a slot guy. He's much better on the outside. He freed up some plays. He ran over some guys, made some big plays.
He went up in the air for balls.
Against Kansas City and New England, he really played well.
Did a lot to erase that question mark that I had. I'm sure a lot of fans had question marks. When is this guy going to show me something as a wide receiver? Well, he did it not only on the practice field, but he turned that into, like you said, Joe, two big games where he had explosive plays.
What he did over 6 months has got us away from going, hey, you got to catch those punts to saying, hey, this guy's a pretty good receiver out there.
Well, in my mind,
and a viable receiver for you.
I don't know about you guys, but in my mind, last training camp, he was on the bubble to make the team.
No doubt.
For me.
Well, totally I'm agree. Sitting there. You know what? I went into preseason with Jakeem, saying, you know what, he leaves two punts on the ground, and he's not on this team anymore. Right?
We used to say smoking or non-smoking. Yeah. Right. That cat's going to get out of here.
He worked hard on it. I give him a lot of credit. He put in a lot of work, and you know he is. He's still got that same chip on his shoulder. Seen some of his stuff on social media, and he'll fight with anybody who doesn't think he can play.
That's right.
Tough kid physically on the field. And we've seen that he's a tough kid mentally.
That's right.
Because he went through some crap and had to fight his way through it.
How hard did he work to try to improve his craft in the offseason? He did it.
No
he
doubt.
He did a lot of it. Yeah.
Darren Smith on Facebook. What I don't want to see is the Dolphins wasting draft picks by trading up. There are over a dozen players available in various positions, any of whom would be an upgrade on what we currently have. So stick where we are and take the best player available. I can't argue with that.
I don't think you have to
worry. I don't see the Dolphins don't have
they don't have the ammo.
They really don't have the ammunition to move up. And I know if it's one of those things where, hey, move up there and make sure you get one of those four quarterbacks. They don't have the wherewithal to do that. So they're going to unless something dramatic happens, I see them staying where they're at. And I do agree with Darren here in as much as, look, you're going to get a good player there. It's just a matter of you picking the right one.
You're going to fill one of your needs at 11.
Well, don't move down either. Just get the best player.
Don't give up my 11th pick to get some shitty second round, some pick the last pick in the second
25th
round.
Pick or
No. Give me the guy. Give me that 11th.
You're going to get your
give me that 11th
tackle,
best player in the draft.
Your linebacker or corner, whatever.
Or
it
if
is.
One of those tight ends that's moving up, the kid from South Dakota seems to be making a lot of headway here.
Hopefully not too much so we can get him.
No, I know.
Yeah. Let's stay quiet.
Yeah. at Twitter, at King Laugh, glad Ryan T is better and back. Y'all need to look at Leonte Carew again. He can be Landry 2.0. Give him 10-plus targets a game, and watch he becomes an immediate threat to the offense. He is another guy that's had his chances, man.
Been around for two years.
They've given him opportunities. They've given him opportunities in practice. They've let him run with the first team. But then when game time shows up, I look over and Leonte Carew standing on the side. That to me is the indicator. Look, I go back to that, coaches don't see it coming at him in the practice field, they're never going to give him the opportunity in the field.
They got two veteran guys.
Yeah.
I thought the one guy was Leonte Carew. Went, wow, Leonte, what are you thinking right now? They just signed two veteran linebackers. How are you feeling? Plus Grant, plus those young guys. People are starting to look, what in the hell do we do with that third-round pick? He better be – if there's ever one guy, he's either going to pout and mope when he gets here, or he's going to come in super motivated.
Yep. Don't you think he's in the position Grant was in last year?
Yes.
Even worse?
Yes.
Maybe a little bit worse. Because
It's a crowded room.
They've got a veteran guy that's done it in the NFL. They've got a guy that is signed for a couple of seasons, three seasons in Wilson now that has
gives
you a little bit of durability.
Too. I look at money.
Punt returner gives you a little bit of everything.
Yep.
I think he's in a little worse shape than maybe Grant was last year.
That room is a lot more crowded than it was last year, and he didn't. I don't think he did anything to really help his cause last year. So he's got about 6 months. We're coming to these next 6 months to decide his fate in his future in the National Football League, quite frankly.
He'll have to flash early. You know, he'll be one of those guys you have to take a
look at. Flash right now.
Yeah.
Be flashing.
Another Twitter at Jacob5519. I hope y'all draft my favorite linebacker in the draft, Rashawn Evans, Roll Tide. There's some good linebackers.
He's a good one.
He is a good
one.
He's
a really good one.
Georgia, the kid from Georgia. Was it Raekwon Smith?
Yeah.
He's a good one. I mean, and look, I think there's going to be two or three of those guys.
I want Farrell Edmonds' kid, man.
Farrell Edmonds.
Tremaine Edmonds. That's Farrell's kid.
Top five guy, right?
He's not even 19 years old.
No.
Kid from Virginia Tech, big 6'4", 250.
You know who's been I run into Mark Higgs, the old Dolphin linebacker.
Farrell Edmonds,
old Dolphin running back
at the Dolphins
at the gym
kid.
Every now and then. And for 2 years, he's been telling me, when do you see Farrell's kid? When do you see Farrell's kid? And I said, so after 20 minutes of him telling me about Farrell's kid while I'm trying to be on the stationary bike, I go, I get it, Higgy. I get it. He's a good player.
He top 10 pick.
And so Farrell's got three kids, right?
Yes.
That are playing.
Yeah.
Pretty good gene pool.
Yeah.
Most went to Virginia Tech. I think one transferred out. Running back part.
Yeah, Farrell's a proud dad, man. That doesn't happen very often.
Well, both those linebackers are going to go projected either before
or right around.
Or right around 11 ballpark, where we're at. So you're hoping that – I think if you're the Dolphins, realistically, you're hoping if you don't have a shot at the four quarterbacks that are up there, let them all go at
let them get out of the way. Let those linebackers
because
drop down into our
you're either going to get one of the – Edmonds, you're going to get Smith. Or you're going to have a chance at Villa.
Yep. Hey, El Chapo Jr. coming in on Twitter. Nice to have him back. Do you think that the lowering your helmet rule will affect Frank Gore? I think that's going to affect a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know what this – I don't know. As a defensive player, I don't know how you – I don't know how you play the game.
How about an offensive guy? How about these running backs?
Well, it's like he's talking about Frank Gore, little getting down and getting a
guy makes a nice run and he hits his helmet and hits a guy, knocks him back. They're going to call a penalty and call a run back?
Boy, it's tough, Joe. I see it every weekend in college football that you're trying to take the head and the helmet out of the game, and you've got a running back that's going for second and third effort, and the first thing that instinctively – he lowers his head and he goes forward, and the first thing that's going is the crown of the helmet. Yeah. And that's what we're looking for, and that's what the officials are trying to negotiate and figure out, was it a lunging moment?
We might have gone a little too far on safety.
It was tough.
We've gone too far on safety. I don't know how you play the game.
Look, there was one of the coaches about 3 years ago that came up with it, that his for receivers. Let's put them in that same umbrella that you do punt returners, where they've got to catch the ball and hit the ground before you can hit them. I mean, what do you do? The game, you throw 10 yards out all day long. The game scores are going to be 56-52. You know, and look, with some of these rules, believe me, there's going to be more points scored because the tackling is going to be worse than it's been over the last couple of years, which hasn't been very good. And so,
can you imagine we add two penalties to slow the game down? And I mean, the game. I understand the safety and the lawsuits,
too,
Bo,
but,
and all the stuff we're going through. But
no, look, I
don't know about
this
one.
I've been saying this for the last couple of years. The NFL is walking a tight line right now between taking this game and making it something that we don't recognize anymore. I saw someone this year. They're talking about they threw out. Well, put them back in leather helmets because then they won't hit with their heads. Well, can you imagine seeing guys running around with leather helmets these days?
Be a nice-ass leather helmet, though, those ones they would have. You know they make it sweet.
Yeah, they make it nice. No doubt about that.
Nice.
All right, let's get one more here. Twitter at Speak Your Mind. Raekwon Smith, linebacker, Georgia. Tremaine Edmonds, we talk about him. Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker of Virginia Tech. Farrell's kid. Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. Baker Mayfield, the quarterback. Derwin James, a safety from Florida State. Any of these I will accept. I could live with any one of those, except for I would take the guard out. Prior to free agency, maybe a month ago, I would say, keep that guy right there.
Yeah.
And he may be the one guy I wanted. But now that you go out and sign these guys, it's not a priority, at least in my mind anymore. So I could take him out of that mix. But Raekwon Smith, Edmonds, Mayfield, Derwin James, any of those guys at 11, I'm pretty happy with any one of those guys.
Our first five picks, two in the fourth round, they shouldn't be a wide receiver. They shouldn't be a defensive end.
No.
Right?
Exactly.
Shouldn't be an offensive lineman.
And shouldn't be an offensive lineman.
No.
We're good.
Yeah.
We got other holes to take care of.
You know, a tight end, a safety, a corner,
linebacker.
Yeah. I think all those positions are in play.
And there's plenty
on that
of guys.
Side. And there's plenty of those guys.
Let's do
there's
it.
There's plenty of reason to know that you can get a good safety in the second second round.
That's right.
If that's the direction you're going to go. And look, because you talk about safeties and these linebackers, you talk about covering tight ends. You go back to the tight end. Instead of, look, we need to pick one up. We also need to pick up somebody
who can
cover those guys because they've been killing us.
Well, I think that's why Derwin James, his name has appeared lately.
Yeah.
Only because.
You don't like him, Joe.
Here's my problem. I'm going to tell you guys because I got this all morning too, the Derwin James FSU love affair. We gave TJ McDonald a lot of money to come in here.
Yeah.
That coaching staff and that front office needs to use him so that he works out. He got a contract.
No,
preseason and didn't play for eight games and came in.
Yeah.
He didn't do much back there. You need to make it work. You guys gave him the contract, or we're covering up another mistake that we made that sets you behind. So that's how I feel.
I also believe that of these, I think the safety is the lowest need as far as I'm concerned.
I do too.
But if that's the guy you end up with, look, you take TJ and I would make him a tweener. I'd make him a tweener outside linebacker and work with these safety to try to slow down these tight ends. I've said this before and I keep saying, look, the difference makers in the Super Bowl were two tight ends. And the difference maker week in and week out, it seems like when you watch the National Football League now, the difference makers are among the biggest difference makers are tight ends.
Yeah. Well,
I don't care whether it's one guy or two guys, you better figure out a way to nullify tight ends. Or are you going to be suffering with this for another
consider James that high at 11 is that you're going to go to a lot of dime coverage.
Yes. Yeah.
A ton of it. And you're not getting the linebacker that you want there that could probably do both, and that you're going to get a guy that you're taking one linebacker off the field, you're putting another defensive back on the field, and for 60% of your defensive calls, that's the way you're going to line up, because it has been done in certain games last year. When you look around the league, there's not a whole lot of linebackers playing in the National Football League 60-70% of the snaps.
No doubt.
It's more about 20 or 30.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today. We'll wrap it up. We're going to be back again next week with another. What do you call these episodes, Logan?
Are they episodes?
Episodes, another episode of the podcast. Apple Music, Dolphins.com, Miami Dolphins mobile app. Joe's favorite TuneIn Radio. Episodes drop
every Thursday.
There you go. That's what
every
I was looking
Thursday,
for.
Every Thursday,
right there. Facebook and Twitter, that's the way to get your questions in. We'll get to as many questions as we can week in and week out. I want to thank Kiko Alonso for stopping by and joining us. Daniel Kilgore, hearing from him was good. Next week, Bobby McCain. Sit down with Bobby McCain.
Talking
he's a good
about
guy.
Covering on the inside.
Well, wait. Now, John was ready to, give his position to another guy. I want to hear what he's going to say next week.
I can't wait to see Bobby. Great friend of mine.
Hey, Bobby played his ass off.
Bobby, down in Memphis?
Bobby McCain.
How about his season last year?
Played good, man.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Another guy that really – you know what? You've seen Bobby McCain here for a number of years now.
Screw Derwin James.
Bobby McCain. We don't need him.
All right, Bobby, too.
We'll catch you next week.